who's gratefully agreed to be with us this morning to share. Jessica has works an incredibly hard program, and if I share later, I'll just speak to how grateful I am, Jessica, to know you, and what an inspiration, and how your life has been transformed in the last several months. So, Jessica, thank you for being with us from probably cold Minnesota, but it's pretty cold here too.
It's a little chilly here. It's snowing, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
So do you need a 5-minute warning? Like, do you want me to go like that?
Yeah, that'd be great if I...
Okay. So we're going to turn it over to you, Jessica. And this is Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jen. I appreciate the opportunity to share my story today. My name is Jessica F. and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'd like to open with prayer, if that's okay with everyone. God, I pray that you would speak through me today. I pray that you use me as a vessel of your message and hope. Please help me do your will today, not mine. Amen. So where to start, right? So my compulsive overeating story begins a lot like a lot of other people's. When I was 12, I remember like sitting down on the toilet, looking at my thighs and thinking about how much I disliked my body, even at that young age. I remember being the very first one in my sixth grade class to hit 100 pounds. And I remember like even growing up, like doing different diets, even with my mom, like she was overweight. And I remember doing like Slim Fast diet with her and different things, even as a teenager. You know, like my parents got divorced, I lost a ton of weight. I think I was a little depressed around that time, and that's how my body processed it. But then after a few, like 5 years or so, I started gaining my weight back. And I've had 2 children and I am married, and I thought that that would be the key to my happiness. But unfortunately, when we put our hope and our strength in other people instead of God, then they fail us, right? Because we're all human and we all fall short of the glory of God. So, I just remember, always wanting sugar. Like I had a huge sweet tooth, like growing up, and I had a huge, like, I remember my aunt Tammy once at a church function telling me, Jessica, that's enough Rice Krispie treats. Like she told, like, I didn't even think about the fact that that was like too many Rice Krispie treats at like a church function. And so, as an adult, like I also like, there was nothing in my mind that would stop me from continuing to eat, you know, once I got that hit of sugar. And so, it got to the point over the summer, this past summer, where I was, not even just this past summer, but before that, like I would eat my children's breakfast cereal and run to the store and buy a new box to replace it because I'd eaten the entire box of cereal. I remember like eating, almost an entire package of cookies. And then I would, it was so bad. I would even like let my children take the fall for it. Like one would accuse the other of eating all the cookies. And I would just sit back listening to it and not intervene and not say, no, it was me. I did it. And so this past summer, it got to the point where I was like lying to my children about, and my husband about like why I was leaving in my car. I was driving to the gas station to buy my binge foods, and I would sit at the gas station eating my binge food, hoping that a neighbor didn't see me. And I would throw the trash away in the receptacle before I would return home so that the evidence would be gone. And all this time I was on a really expensive, I was on a really expensive diet that was not working because I was binging the entire time. So I lost weight, on the diet a little bit, but then, my binge eating really kicked in full force, like as I, the longer that diet went on. And, I just remember, like, I'm a teacher and I never had this urge to take a nap before. I've actually don't like taking naps because I feel funny when I wake up. But I remember like at the beginning of this past summer, like thinking like, God, I just really need a nap. And I had gotten like a full 8 or 9 hours of sleep the night before. And I was just so tired. I had zero energy. And then like, I saw my friend Kathy on Facebook and she was losing a ton of weight. And so I reached out to her and I was like, hey, Kathy, like, what are you doing to lose weight? Thinking that she'd give me the next great diet, right? Because we're always looking for that next diet, the next, you know, way to lose weight. And she said, well, you know, I discovered that I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm doing this program called Overeaters Anonymous. And she was doing the gray sheet diet, which I guess is what all the old timers did, like back when overeaters first started. And she sent me the program and I tried it for a few days and I was like, I don't know if this is for me, but I was like attending meetings and things like that. And then on a Saturday morning, she went to a Full of Faith meeting and found somebody who was available to sponsor. And so passed that information along to me. And like, I remember like stepping on the scale and looking at the number and I was about 98 pounds heavier than when I'd gotten married. And about a year ago, I received an atrial fibrillation diagnosis. And even that didn't stop me. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, there's a story in the Big Book about, you know, how even, you know, medical diagnoses won't stop us from compulsive eating. And, you know, even fear, you know, and my husband would talk to me and be like, I don't think you should be eating that. And I'm like, just, I'm fine. Mind your own business. So even like family members would try to, you know, my husband would try to convince me and, you know, the doctors, like, you know, I looked it up and I was like, I realized that atrial fibrillation, the more you have it, the more it triggers itself to keep happening again and again. And the heavier you are, the more you will have it. And the risk with atrial fibrillation is that when you're in AFib, since your heart isn't beating properly, you could throw a clot and ultimately you could die from the clot, from the blood clot. So there's a lot of risk involved with, you know, having AFib. And I knew that. And I knew that if I lost weight, that my chances of having AFib episodes would decrease. And even though I was on medication, I was still having episodes every now and again, not very long, but they were still there. And I knew that if I continued to gain weight, that they would just get worse, but that still didn't stop me. I continued to compulsively overeat until my friend Kathy found that sponsor and passed that sponsor's name along to me. So I contacted my sponsor and, I was talking to her and I said, well, you know, I don't know if this is a great time to start this program. But I can't, you know, I can't wait any longer. I said, you know, I am going on we have a family vacation that we've been planning since February. We're going to Mexico to visit my husband's family. And, she said, well, if you want to start now, I will support you in, you know, in your travels. And if you really want to do it, you'll do it. And I was like, well, I can't wait 3 more weeks. I just can't. And so, I was so desperate. I was even willing to start, this program, this amazing program, a week before going on a family vacation that we had planned. And, so we went to Mexico and, you know, a week into program. I survived my son's birthday party when I was about 2 days abstinent. So July 8th was my date of abstinence, my abstinent date that I started being abstinent. And I was a week into program and we went to, I prepped a whole bunch of food ahead of time, like oatmeal, eggs. I think I packed, well, I know I packed tuna and chicken and like a little tiny container of mayonnaise that I found at Target, to be able to, you know, get my carbs and my protein in. And then, I just told my husband, I packed my meal for that entire day, brought it with us on the plane. ate on the plane. Then as soon as we got to Mexico, we got our rental car and I said, we need to go to the grocery store. I need to get fruits and vegetables. And so we went to the grocery store before we even went to our hotel room. And, you know, we have the two kids with us too. So we went to the grocery store and got fruits and vegetables. We checked into our hotel. We were in Playa del Carmen for 4 days and our hotel room had a tiny fridge, but not even a microwave. So I would just eat my oatmeal cold with berries in the morning and my egg cold or my eggs cold. And it didn't bother me because I knew that God was going to do a work in my, you know, a work in my mind and a work in my body. And after 4 days, you know, we were visiting some family in Playa del Carmen. Then we flew to Querétaro, which is a little bit north of Mexico City. And my husband leaned over on the plane and he goes, I don't feel so good. And I said, what do you mean you don't feel good? And he's like, I just don't feel good. And I said, maybe you're just tired. We were pretty busy. Why don't you just try to sleep on the plane? And so he slept. But then when we got to Querétaro, he was not feeling any better. And when we got to his sister's house, he went upstairs and laid down and took a nap. And I went up there later to check on him and I felt him and he was really warm. And that evening we took his temperature and he had a fever and we tested him and he came back positive for COVID. So now we're in Mexico. We've only been there. This is day 5 of our 2-week vacation in Mexico. And now my husband has COVID. And so we quarantined him and, you know, my sister-in-law and I, and you know, we were entertaining the kids and making the meals and things like that. And I continued to stay abstinent. Her and I went to the grocery store. So she saw, you know, things I was buying and, you know, things I was, how I was making my food and things like that. And, my 2 days later, I started having like weird symptoms. Like I had like this up and down fever and like I was super congested. And I took a test, but it was negative. So I was like, okay. And then the next day there was a baptism. And I don't know if any of you have been to a Latino baptism, but what it ends up being is like, it's like for the baby, obviously, but then they have it at like a hall, you know, they rent a space and have it at a hall. And then there's like cake and snacks and food, and it turns into like a drinking party for adults. And so my husband and his family, they were all drinking and eating, and I brought all my absent food and I ate my absent food, and I just felt so frustrated. I mean, because my kids were being really, really naughty. There was like a trampoline. And apparently they took soap from the bathroom and put it all over the trampoline. It was raining. So it created like this giant mess on the trampoline. They were being so naughty. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Like, so now my husband and his family, they're drunk. And it is not fun being around drunk people when you are sober. And so my kids were being super naughty and I was just so overwhelmed. And I walked outside and I looked up the street one way and down the street the other way. And if there had been a convenience store in sight, I would have walked to the convenience store and I would have binged for sure. Absolutely for sure. 100%. But there was not one in either direction. And I honestly really believe in my heart of hearts that God led my husband's family to choose that particular hall because he knew what was going to happen. And he knew that I was going to walk out of that baptism, you know, that hall, and I was going to be looking for a place to go binge. And there was no place in sight. And I don't know if any of you have been to Mexico, but there's like this convenience store. It's called OXXO, OXXO. And they're everywhere. I mean, you can't drive 2 blocks without finding an OXXO. I mean, they're just everywhere. And we were like in the middle of this warehouse district and there is not an OXXO in sight. And I was so frustrated and I started crying and I put my name out for outreach. And I am so grateful for those group me's. Somebody reached out to me within like 2 minutes and I talked to her and, you know, her and I, you know, talked and she kind of talked me back from the edge and she prayed with me and it was just beautiful. And I went back into the baptism and I just tried to enjoy every moment that I could at the rest of that night at that baptism until, you know, until we left. And I mean, I really believe that God set in motion all these pieces to this puzzle. If I had been the one that came down with COVID first, I would not have been going to the grocery store with my sister-in-law, and she would not have seen the foods that I was buying that were abstinent foods. She would not have seen how I was cooking my foods. She would not have seen, you know, how to use my scale or any of that if I had been the one first come down with COVID. So the day after the baptism, I actually ended up testing positive for COVID. So it turned out I did have COVID, but I just must have either had a false negative or I just didn't have enough in my system yet for it to show up on the COVID test. So then the day after the baptism on that Sunday, I tested positive for COVID. So my husband and I are both quarantining in the room upstairs. And then, you know, that was his last day of isolation. And so then he was able to come out with the mask on. And the next day they took a bunch of them went to some hot springs. He continued to wear his mask. And the next day, my 10-year-old ended up with COVID as well. So now three of us have COVID. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, who's going to make my food? Who's going to, you know, I just was like, I've been absent now for like 2 weeks, and who's going to make my food, you know? And I talked to my sister-in-law. She's like, don't worry about it. We'll make your food. Not a problem. We'll figure out how to use your scale.
5 minutes. Yes.
Sure. So they figured out how to use my scale, and they made my absent food for me. And, it was just such a blessing. I mean, they could have very well said, you know what? We're having tacos. We're not making special food for you. You're going to have tacos too. But they were so gracious and so kind in making my abstinent food. And towards the end of August, we went I was able to stay absent through the entire vacation with my husband's family making my food. And then by the time I was, you know, done having isolate, I just came out, you know, with my mask on, and they had masks on, and then I was able to make my own food again. But towards the end of August, we went to a quinceañera. And I was able to stay abstinent at the quinceañera. I just bring my own food. I just pack it and bring it. Nobody cares. and then, you know, in the springtime, I was diagnosed with, mild to moderate, depression and anxiety. And through this whole, like ever since I started going through the program, I just feel like this cloud has just been lifted off of me. And I have not really struggled with being depressed or anxious, like ever since I started program. Not to say that, you know, not to minimize anybody who needs to use medication or anything for that. I wasn't medicated for mine. But I just feel like it's been such a blessing. God has removed nearly 60 pounds from my body. I have about 25 more pounds to go. But he has set so many things in motion, and I am just eternally grateful to him. And he lined things up perfectly for me to be able to go, you know, use this, have this program and get my, you know, and have my sponsor. And God brought me this far, and I know he won't forsake me now. And I'm just gratefully recovered on this past Monday, and I'm looking for someone to sponsor currently. And that is my story. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jessica. Can I share a screen? Jessica, did you want your picture shown? Because I could share.